Om Shanti. So welcome to this evening's sharing, and the topic is the power of compassion. It's the power of caring, the power of empathy, the power of tuning in. And you know, so much sorrow is caused when there's not compassion. And so at this time in the world, we see so much sorrow, so much misunderstanding, and a lot of compassion is missing. Compassion, in practical terms, means to be able to create respect and appreciation between souls. And so this is why Baba has come. Actually, Baba is the compassionate one. I'm sure we have all experienced this in yoga and in our lives. And that's why we come to him, like, you know, the moths drawn to the flame. Actually, Baba's name Shiva, the benevolent one. Benevolence, when it is expressed, one of the ways it expresses itself is in compassion. That deep caring for souls, to liberate them, to take them out of their sorrow, in whatever way that sorrow is being felt. So Shiva, benevolent, the compassionate one. But is there a difference between compassion and mercy? Is it different? Is it the same? Well, obviously it's similar, you know, it's very similar. But, I mean, this is again just my thought. It doesn't mean that this is right. And so mercy is you bestow something to somebody and get them out of a situation. So Baba is merciful. Baba says also be merciful to the self. But compassion, I always think it's much more longer. Compassion means the caring, the cultivating of someone's life, like a gardener. A gardener, of course, is not compassionate, but a gardener cultivates when he wants to get the best out of his garden. And so Baba, with compassion, that is with love and caring, is able to bring the original out of the soul. And then that original, those original qualities become the foundation for the soul's life. Compassion is also expressed in generosity. God never stops giving. Especially now, you know, Brother Charlie spoke to you this morning about the wonder of the confluence age, and I think that one of the wonders of the confluence age is God's sustenance. And that is his compassion and, of course, his love. And therefore he's very generous. He doesn't say, I don't have time, tomorrow. Compassion means not only generosity but also availability. Baba is available. See, in the Copper Age, he sent visions. You know, it's different. At the Confluence Age, we can really feel that availability of the Father. We can feel that love and that compassion bringing out the best. It's like a renaissance of my spirit within myself. And why does he have to do all this work? For him it's not a problem, of course. For God, things are not a problem. But what has happened to his children? And when we say children, it means the whole global family. The whole tree of humanity are his children. Because of what Baba said this morning, Maya has made you bankrupt. Totally bankrupt. Again, I won't go into the details of this bankruptcy, but it's spiritual bankruptcy, mental, emotional, and so life becomes not living, but just surviving. And that's how many people are now, aren't they? They're surviving. That's why they have so much fear. They don't enjoy living. Will they have enough money? Will their job be secure? Will their relationships last? So a total bankruptcy in terms of feeling security and especially happiness and even the very basics like inner peace. Because Maya, in effect, Maya is its selfishness. The soul starts to rely on external things or people to be happy, to experience love, and it's rather false. And because it's trying to get its sense of value from the outside, then what happens is that it does not get real experiences. It's not compassionate towards its own self. And that emptiness that comes from that then starts to create selfishness. I want and I need. And this is why souls become addicted. They become addicted to attachments, to their ego. So deeply addicted that they cannot see themselves for what they are. They've lost their sense of eternity and spiritual identity. And so grabbing for the wrong supports, becoming addicted to them, they get empty, they need it more, like an addict, you know, needing more, but actually getting really much, much less. And so this leads to the selfishness. So selfish thinking. When the mind is used in a selfish way, then there's a lot more thinking, but very little result. And there's a lot of upheaval. There's no peace. The more selfish thinking is always this, like this. A lot of thinking with hardly any result and very peaceless. And then that selfish thinking creates selfish feelings. And selfish feelings always create worry, doubt, fears, hopelessness, insecurity, dependencies. The selfish feelings, you know, that it's not a pure feeling. From the original sanskars, Baba says you'll get the pure feeling that will satisfy you, that will give you contentment. Pure happiness, pure love, not the mixture. Because maybe it's not completely selfish, but there's mixtures. It's processed. You know, like processed foods are not very healthy. Same way, processed feelings are not healthy for the soul. And this is why we have fluctuation. So Baba says, at the end of the cycle, I hear all the children and I am pulled to go onto the stage and serve my children, to liberate them. And that's compassion. It's also an act of mercy to bestow knowledge, to bestow his companionship, his love. He gives the compass for a new life. That's his mercy. He gives it. But then he has to have compassion so that this is sustained. Because the children don't learn straight away. No one learns straight away. Brahma Baba didn't learn straight away. No one does. And so where there's compassion, there's patience. Where there's true compassion, there's not an expectation. There's just this generosity, of giving, fulfilling, and being available, and reminding. So Baba reminds us, remember me, remember me. It's because in that connection, the soul is able to dissolve a lot of the blindness that comes from selfish thinking, selfish feeling. Remembrance cleans the soul out. But, you know, it's not always easy to maintain. Baba understands. Compassion means to understand the position of the other, accept it, and work with it. And so Baba is the truth, and truth is compassionate. It doesn't argue or push. Truth is not dogmatic. Truth is very sweet. And this is something also even about God that we forgot. So Baba, we see that actually he is very inclusive. He cares for the whole family of humanity. And he will give extra to his special children, the ancestor children. Why? Because they're going to help the rest of his other children. Baba will give and share much more of his life force. Baba's power is his life force. He gives it. I mean, he'll give it to the children who will not waste it. He'll give it to the children who will use it, yes, for their own self-service, but also for the service of others. To serve the sorrow of others, so that they also become free. Because Baba's compassion creates this feeling of upliftment. Because real compassion uplifts. It doesn't want you to remain in the same position. You see, the problem with mercy is that, especially when people do it, it starts feeling sorry for somebody. Eh? Compassion will not feel sorry. Compassion will uplift. Because if you just feel sorry for somebody, you may not uplift them, and actually you may keep them in a state of dependence. So Baba teaches us a lot about compassion. And then one of the expressions of compassion, especially Baba's compassion, is that it starts to make me grow. And I start to grow in what particular thing? Well, in many things. But I, the soul, start to grow in respectfulness. I start to respect. What is respect? Value. I value. I appreciate. I don't take for granted. And that respect actually starts to create well-being. It starts to create joy. It starts to create real relationship, because until we get to love, there has to be the foundation of respect. And that respect is very much linked to the vision of soul consciousness and equality. Now, you can only develop real friendship when there's a sense of equality. And so this is why Baba tells us, you are all souls. See yourself as a soul. See others as souls. You are equal. When you see yourself through bodies, that is through cultures and religion and through gender, there's a lot of inequality, a lot. And this inequality is the basis of conflict and sorrow. So Baba says, get back to basics, and so start to respect. So what's the first respect that he teaches the soul? Is for myself. respect who you truly are. And it's so important to have the right identity, spiritual identity. And Baba says, go beyond your physical identity, but even more, go beyond your social identity. Because when you identify with these two things so much, then you limit yourself. You keep yourself in a cage. Either a cage of superiority feelings or inferiority feelings. So respect for the self is spiritual identity. I am a soul. And not only I am a soul, but I am a very harmonious, balanced soul. Peace. I am peace. Serenity. And actually in this word, shanti, that inner serenity, there's also the whole state of being which is completeness. See, when the soul starts to be complete, it will lose its selfishness. Selfishness are needs. And when I'm in the consciousness of a physical being or a social being, I always have needs. The need to be recognized, the need to blame somebody for my sorrow, the need to, you know, compare, the need to win. You know, when I go back to this very deep inner self-respect, my original nature is one of completeness. I am who I am. And going back to the stage of completeness in yoga, in deep yoga, then starting from there, the soul is able to have compassion on itself by dissolving all these false supports and false build-ups, these false images. You are something if you have this result. You know, you are this if you are this religion or whatever. We've lost our humanity because we live in a world of labels. Labels create images. And this we see through advertising at the moment. If we look through history, we see it through wars, religious wars, civil wars. A constant violence. The religion at this time is the religion of artificiality and violence. It's been for a while, but now it's at a climax. So Baba's compassion is, you know, this is going to collapse. It's all collapsing. What is artificial is fragile, but you don't have to suffer. You don't have to if you know who you are. So Baba's compassion in giving us knowledge helps me to strengthen myself from inside. And for that, once I have that, then I let go of other things. We call this renunciation. No, let go of things that are not really relevant or meaningful in my existence. People's problems now are very existential problems. You know, the crisis is not economic. The crisis is not really environmental and all that. It's existential. That is the way we live. And so Baba's given us the original pattern of living. Because Baba said, you used to live like this. It's not totally new. And as you go deep in remembrance, Baba tells us, then you start to experience this original self. And so respect for the self by knowing and experiencing who I am. Because it's not enough to know I am a soul. I need to experience this on a daily basis. And my original harmony, my original peace, that is my original completeness, where I'm not dependent on anything, not even on my body. But this takes a lot of attention. Effort is simply the attention on I, the soul, and not I, the social being, I, the physical being. We've been doing this a lot. And so this is why this sanskara of wrong identification is so strong. It doesn't go away in a day. I'm sure you know that. Or 2 days, or 3 days. But gradually it dissolves. Gradually it dissolves. So respect. Respect for the self. Baba's compassion also gives me knowledge, the compass of where to go, what is what, who is who. And then it's up to me, in order to have compassion on myself, what do I have to do with knowledge? Practice it. Not just write it down. Not just have good memory of this point and that point and the other point. Compassion on myself is that I have such a respect for God's knowledge that I will practice it. And in that practice, gently, deeply, daily, I experience. Practice, another word for practice is dharana. Dharana means the practice with all my heart, because I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in the aim. Because if I have knowledge, but I do not have the dharana or the practice, then that's when knowledge starts to be theoretical. And if knowledge remains theoretical, I will get bored. I mean, that's the least of it. Bored and rather dry, and I don't feel I have any yoga. I don't feel I'm remembering God, but I don't feel God's remembering me. Some souls say that. But the reason for whether it's boredom, whether it's dryness, whether I get attracted back to the old things, it's because really the reason for that is I have not practiced. See, no matter how much I like French, and I'm learning it, if I don't practice it, I will not become fluent in it. And even after I've learnt it, I have to keep speaking it. Otherwise, I forget it. It's the same with knowledge. It's easy to forget. Difficult to remember. Easy to forget. But again, compassion on myself is, I have very deep faith in the aim of my life. Why I have chosen this spiritual life. I want to be spiritual. I came on this path not for social reasons, certainly not for political reasons or ambition or anything, to lead really an authentic life of spirituality. And if that's my aim, then I know that I must, not I must, it's actually you wish to do it, isn't it? I wish to practice these things. I wish because practice creates the experience. And then that experience starts to become natural. I do not always have to stay in the same practice. Like, I don't always have to practice the pronunciation of French. Gradually, it becomes natural. And I start to speak naturally. But if I leave out this step, then what happens? Gradually, I forget. And that is then, I'm not having compassion on myself. I'm maybe start to take up old things of sorrow, which I don't have to. Things do not have to be difficult. doesn't have to be difficult. Because if I just am consistent, and I learn to be consistent, I learn to be patient with the self, then this, and that is that respect for the self coming out. I don't have to pressurize myself, but also not lazy as well. Then, you know, I will start to enjoy dharana. And I, you know, sometimes I don't enjoy dharana because it comes from a... Sometimes we don't realize the dharanas we need. That's why we have difficult situations come and difficult people. Right? Any difficult people have come in your life? No. Especially even Brahmins, you know, difficult Brahmins come. Difficult situations come. Well, you see, I would not have chosen the dharana, but the drama chooses it for me. So this is what you have to practice. Whatever it is, detachment, humility, assertiveness, courage, whatever it is. Nothing is useless in this drama that comes to a Brahmin. Nothing is useless. All things come to uplift me. And this is a very deep, subtle compassion for myself. Otherwise, I feel a victim. Otherwise, I feel it's not fair. Otherwise, I'm fed up. Benevolence. God's name, and this is the blessing of this time. It's benevolent. And another thing too, besides the respect for knowledge, is also the respect for God, for Baba. Because, you know, either some of us were a bit atheist, or, you know, didn't think about it much, agnostic, or, you know, had very old religious ideas about God.
But Baba's compassion to us is that he regards himself as he is. And he says something, says, I am the truth, I'm the elevated one, I'm the anointed one. Sometimes he says, I'm the beastly one. And above all, he says, I'm the non-violent one. Come to know me as I am, in the heart of silence. Come to me there. You know, Baba invites us, always invites us. Yeah, Baba was great because he took his invitation 101%. He took it completely. And that's why he could become number one and the first angel. And so, Baba reveals things about himself and how he facilitates the obligation to become free. It's one of our most cherished values and, I think, states of being as we like, we really chose freedom. And so Baba facilitates this freedom for myself, because it's not a freedom from other people. It's not a freedom from a country. It's a freedom from myself. And only he has that compassion and that benevolence to help facilitate this, without damaging and interfering. Human beings, even with good intentions, can do them damage. And I do it to myself. But when we start to recognize, not just understand, but recognize, rather, then we start to trust. Trust is very important. Trust, I guess, you know, is one of the things that comes from when you're compassionate to someone, for example, they'll trust you. When you're kind to them, when you're sincere with them. So, we trust God, we trust Baba. And then when we trust from the recognition, then we start to surrender. We give ourselves. And surrender, you know, evolves. Surrender doesn't just remain. Because for some people, surrender, they think it means yes all the time. They think they're just stuck in a position of subservience. This is not surrender. Surrender is a gift to myself because I trust. Because I know that love will take me to something much higher than I cannot do it by myself. Although, yes, I'm also responsible, but it's a partnership. And as the soul surrender starts to evolve, I'm not just someone who, not anymore, someone who needs mercy. No. I have been given knowledge. I'm using knowledge. So, that the soul starts to evolve is not just a devotee asking for something. It starts to become, it becomes a child. The child who inherits, the student who learns. And then the soul starts to become a friend and a companion in the task. In the beginning, somebody who needed some direction, some power, something, doing it. And then the soul starts to become stronger and starts to participate in the father's task of, you know, serving the other brothers and sisters, whatever religion they may be, whatever country they may be in, whatever way they mean it. So surrender evolves to the point of divine companionship, spiritual companionship, as a reality for the soul, not just an intellectual concept. Yes, I am combined with the Father. And you know that Brahma Bhava was the blueprint for this. How to do it. I mean, I don't know how we know, I think, but the important thing of how is daily. Not just the mantra. Daily, wherever I may be. But why not? I mean, I enjoy this companionship with my father. It's the time to be with him. So why wouldn't I give time and space to this? So, and the one thing who really moves on surrender, moves more forward, becomes equal, like Brahma Baba did, become equal. And that's for the soul thing that become the angels. And it's not that difficult to become an angel, actually. Brahma's voice says, easy as ever. But that's... the most important thing I have found is always have this inner attentiveness, this inner mindfulness, you know. Like go off track and then so much effort to come back. Of course it happens. It happens. These things happen. One day, down the next, up for 3 months, down for two, these things do happen. But with trust, in what that is love, and in trust, and also trust in my own destiny, gradually the soul starts to balance out. And there won't be such big fluctuations, they get much less. And then there's many other types of respect that I won't go into right now. You know, for example, respect for time. It's a confluence of just God's time. It's the time of creating and facilitating the original. And so therefore, wouldn't I use my time effectively, efficiently? So the respect, and again, of course, the very good respect is respect for others, which is so much lacking in relationships. Everybody wants love, but they forget to respect first. You can't get love if you first don't respect. You can't receive or experience love if you don't first, you know, have this completeness inside. Because then it's wanting to take something, and this creates imbalance, this creates karma. So respect for others means this. It always means the quality of relationship, of family. This is what so many groups, you know it so well, and then when they come here and express, it comes through. So, you know, there's the Indian Egyptian group, there's the, the Chinese family group, there's the deity family, there's the Christian family, there's the Buddhist family. Because drama is the relationship between souls, and these relationships are expressed. It's not just relationship with matter too, and relationship with time, relationship with this body. But above all of that is relationship with other souls, where happiness is expressed. Happiness is what sustains relationship. We interact for happiness. Yeah? This is what we really, this is what it's about. And so, relationships, and then the respect for others will work very naturally when I'm independent. Because if I'm not independent, if I'm not in that stage of completeness, if I'm not deep in that whole shanti consciousness, that independence in one way or another. So people really listen to the first one time they complain. And you don't do that so much now, so. Now, a complaint is a kind of a dependency. I'm complaining for what? Usually it's, it's often for others, They don't do this to me, they don't do that, they don't listen, something like that. I have to become free inside, even if I complain about myself. I'm dependent on sanskara in myself. I'm influenced by it. I'm not fully free. Dharma means to be fully free. So when I am free, and in that independent state, then I'm mature enough, I have the maturity, to create sustainable relationships. Sustainable relationships. I never have to go to workshops about love. I never have to go to a psychologist. I don't need to teach a new scripture. Because they complete. And so the relationships are balanced. That's this karma. It's balanced. But when this starts to be lost, then things start to go into the graph. But now is the time for relearning, repositioning. And by the same thing, remember, just jog your memory. Just go back inside. You'll start to experience what it means to be complete. You'll start to see this as a reality. And then, yes, we do belong. People have a very big problem these days is the feeling of not belonging. Not belonging. There's the separateness, separation. But, because first of all, I haven't belonged to myself for a long time. But I belong to myself, and it's been very difficult to feel a sense of family and belonging in a natural way. And sometimes what people do is they just keep grabbing. When people are desperate, it's like a person who's drowning, You've got to approach them in the right way, because they're so desperate, they can pull you with a lot of force and make you drown. You've got to always approach them from behind. So, when people are desperate for love, desperate for respect, then they can't do anything to try to get it. And often those methods are very, very sabotaging. People sometimes give away their own respect in order to feel they belong. But the process never do this, You belong in the drama. You're part of the drama. You're part of the whole human family anyway. And that's when you build my self-consciousness. And I experience that spiritual identity. You belong to yourself. And you belong to anybody. and what is happening in your life? Compassion or practical? What's the practical? The practical compassion in terms of existing here now, the conflict stage. When I have servants, the children of the Father, or as members of the biggest family of humanity. The first thing of compassion, practical compassion, is actually caring. Everyone is caring, but not getting entangled. Because without care, we can become very insensitive. It's not here just for my own elevation. I'm not here just for me to feel unchanged. First, of course, I do have to feel that, but then there's always the step of embracing others and showing them what it means to be connected to their inner beliefs and to find their inner foundation, their independence. So caring, but not getting entangled. Not getting entangled in the problems. So that's the thing not getting entangled. You might be able to help if you get both involved. Another one is to be up above, but also to be present. To be in the prior truth, but also to be here. And to be also silent but communicative with a lot of really good feelings all the time. Oh, there's a few other things in practical compassion, but these are some of them. So I'd like to conclude there. And please get in the class now, Mary Penn, and give us the details so we can have a lot of people coming. Okay, so I'm Shanti, and all the best.